what's up, everybody? Chad Kalick here, and welcome back to the Intercredit Room podcast, where on this episode, we are going to once again talk about Jeremy Corbell. And we are going to go backwards in time here a little bit, because it's, you know, it's interesting how time has a way of revealing all truth, right? It reveals action and patterns, you know? And I've seen a lot of patterns with Jeremy Corbell since the beginning that really began to bug me. And I recently saw him on Steve-O's podcast, where he said something that really pissed me off. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he was discussing basically people throwing out ideas as to what the UAP jellyfish could be. And people had brought up, is it a scratch on the lens? Which I could see why people initially would say, could this be a scratch on the lens? And Corbell says, you're a moron if you suggest something that it could be if it's not.
Whatever this was made. It's not just a bunch of floating fucking balloons. I mean, these guys are trained to know the difference. Of course, debunkers say, it's bird shit on a lens, it's balloons. And, you know, look, I can't shoot moron out of someone's head, so they just got to live with that. But this is not those things. This is a UAP, unidentified anomalous phenomena, or UFO. Now, what it is, where it's from, what the intent, who made it, don't know. Maybe there's a terrestrial answer. I don't know.
Now, we're going to talk about the jellyfish UAP because I knew right away what I thought it was. And after digging around a little bit, this thing has been completely debunked. And not only just what the jellyfish UAP is, which it's hilarious that it's even called a UAP, but also Jeremy's story surrounding the jellyfish UAP is also going to be debunked. But we're going to go back to the beginning of his kind of career with all this stuff. You know, since he can't carve moron out of people's heads, that question is his findings. Maybe I can prove that, you know, maybe these people aren't morons. Maybe there's a there when it comes to Mr. Corbell. So I was like, you know, I'm going to kind of dig deeper into this, you know, Bob Lazar story and see what I can find. Because if Jeremy is telling half-truths and if he is potentially working for the government as a disinformation agent, which I have strong suspicions that he is, look, man, if he's doing that now, my guess would be that he probably told half-truths in the film. But I didn't know that. So I just did a little bit of research, just a little bit. And this stuff's out there for you guys to find, and congrats to the people out there who have found a lot of this stuff. But there was all kinds of things that I quickly discovered that had me just shaking my head. In the Bob Lazar film, there's a couple things that stood out to me that I was just like, wow, man, you got to be kidding me. In the Bob Lazar documentary, there's this big deal made out of the fact that there's this security device that measures Bob's bones in his hands. And that's how he gets access to where he works. He puts his hand on this machine and it measures the bone structure. And there's this gigantic kind of conspiracy set up in the Bob Lazar film that this would be mind-blowing if this piece of machinery existed, because Bob said it did and everyone else said it was fake, and there's no way that this could have existed. There's no way that Bob could have known about this. There's no way he could have made this up. And if Jeremy could uncover one of those machines, it would be like, holy shit, look at this. Well, you find out that Corbell is on record saying that Close Encounters, which came out in 1977, I believe, a good decade before Bob's story, Close Encounters actually has the hand machine that in the Bob Lazar documentary Corbella has a long tale and story as to how he found this machine that everyone said didn't exist. And Bob looks at him, he's like, yeah, that's right, that's it. Oh my God, you found it. And this big deal is made about the fact that Jeremy uncovered this. Well, that hand scanner is in the movie Close Encounters. It's in the movie. If you look at the screen right now, you can see a picture of it, which is hilarious to me. So clearly, Corbell knew that this thing existed and that there were models, you know, that were being used a decade before in the sci-fi realm of filmmaking. But see, none of this is ever mentioned in the Bob Lazar film. None of it. Which, look, I get that he's, you know, a filmmaker, and he's trying to make interesting things happen and try to make Bob appear credible. I get what he's doing, but that's just like, I mean, isn't omission lying if you know that it counters your claim? If you don't include it or say it? I mean, to me it is. But there's just so many other things. When I started digging into it, it's crazy when you consider some of the claims that were made. Like, the biggest issue with Bob Lazar saying he went to MIT, the biggest issue that makes that really unbelievable, Bob finished the lower third of his high school class. The lower third. There's no way he's getting into MIT in the lower third of your class. There's no way. There's just no way. But yet, this claim is still made. Look, everyone's life has, you know, things in their past I'm sure they'd rather not have out there. But Bob's been involved in some pretty wicked shit. For one, Bob was arrested and pleaded guilty to basically setting up CCTV cameras at a brothel to blackmail people. This was a real case that Bob pled guilty to. Okay, like, he set up the entire surveillance system. He pled guilty. This is on file. He was also married to two different women at the same time. One of them was heavily involved with the Hells Angels. Now, you're going to tell me that, you know, if there was a legitimate background test, that none of this stuff would have flagged anything? He certainly knows his way around a lab. Like, I have no problem believing that to a degree he is a scientist. But he's also a dude that's been involved in a lot of really, really sketchy, shady shit that makes you wonder. For example, his security badge, that was fake. His security badge that he, you know, presented himself, that was a fake security badge. But there were a couple other things that I discovered that really bothered me. And this is a while ago this bothered me. Stanton Friedman, longtime ufologist, who did not believe in Bob's story at all, he debated Corbell and Bob. And there was footage of this. There was footage of this. And I'm telling you, I watched this. Stanton Friedman mopped the floor. I mean, just smoked Corbell in this debate. I mean, really made him look bad. And I was going to go back and get that, you know, that debate between Corbell and Friedman, and kind of, you know, break it apart and take a look at it and really look at each side and see what their hard evidence was. I cannot find this anywhere. It was on the web. I watched it. It was on the web. It's gone now. I cannot find it anywhere. Also, I was telling Laura that there was this hilarious tape when Bob first came forward. There was this footage that either he shot it or George Knapp's buddies, or maybe somebody else did. It was the corniest footage ever. It was Bob talking about how dangerous his life is and now that he's on the run. And he was dressed like the Hoff. And he hops in his, I believe it was a Corvette, some kind of sports car from back then. And he just goes ripping ass out of this location that he was at. It was out in the desert somewhere. And it looks so corny. It looks like a dude trying to appear like he's some sort of like secret agent or some spy or some shit. I was going to show it to Laura because it's hilarious footage. And again, it was not meant to be funny. He thought it looked cool. He thought it really kind of painted him as this, like I said, this kind of like superhero for truth. Cannot find that footage anywhere. And I've seen it on the web numerous times. Cannot find it anywhere. Anywhere. So if you guys can find either Stanton Friedman's debate with Corbell or the Bob Lazar admission footage with his Corvette, I would love to see that. Send it my way. Send the links my way and I'll share it. But I could not find either. And if I can't find either, that tells me they had it wiped. They had it wiped. They either paid to have it wiped or so far down the algorithm and so off the grid or off the web that it just can't be found anymore. Because, you know, once things are on the web, they're always on the web, you know? But I can't find this footage anywhere. But beyond all of this, the first kind of step in the Corbell method of deception would follow after the film came out, which is to treat almost and maybes as though they are evidence. And what I mean by this is, like, in the film, he does it as well, too. In the Bob Lazar movie, he talks about how Lazar had this element, you know, 115, and he stabilized it, and he had this video that George Knapp says existed, in which basically they used it and it was bending light and it was creating gravity and like all this stuff. But it's never presented. George Knapp says, I got it somewhere. It's somewhere in my stuff. Okay, so you have somewhere these guys recorded Bob stabilizing this 115 and wielding it to create gravity. And this was recorded somewhere, which would make this like the most valuable, you know, VHS tape on planet Earth, if not the literal universe, considering what it is. And you don't know where it is. And then there's a video that's presented in the movie that's been recorded over, and there's only like seconds away. And Jeremy's like, I found the tape, but someone recorded on it. So the long and short of it is, it doesn't show anything. That footage, if it does exist, it's not been presented anywhere. And again, that's the footage that would have made this all real. But it's just out of reach, right? And you'll see this is a trend with Jeremy that he does every time he releases something. The one piece of footage, the part of the story that would legitimize everything, that is the most fantastical part of the whole story, it's almost there, but it's not quite there. But he knows it exists because it was recorded over and there was a few seconds of it. And George said it was in his stuff somewhere. He has another tape in his stuff somewhere, but he can't find it. It's very convenient, right? It's very convenient. And again, you'll see this pattern reemerges later. But after this is over, Corbell works his way onto Rogan. And he starts doing the same thing again. He's talking about this guy, Mike Thigpen. He was the security guy at Area 51 or S4, one of them, that could confirm that Bob showed up, that he worked there, he is who he said he was, and he did what he said he did, that this guy let him in every day. Right? So Jeremy does this thing again. He's real, and I spoke to him 3 times. And he was going to, you know, come on, he almost did it. He almost filmed. But I talked to him. I did. I know he's real. So he's vouching, you know, for his own film. And if that's the case and it's real, then you have a choice of either to say it and just stand by the fact that it looks sketchy or don't say it at all, which I would have chosen just don't say it. Don't say it because even if it's real, you know, you're going to get eaten alive for it. Because it's not real until it's real. Look, it's real in the sense that if we're sitting around having beers at a campfire, it's real. But to the factual, like, scientific community, the people that want, listen, set all personalities to the side and show me the facts. That's all I care about, which is what we're talking about here largely. We're talking about proving something, right? You know, Thigpen is a ghost. But there's Corbell on Rogan, almost. You know, I had the video with 115, but it was recorded over. It's only a few seconds. It didn't really show anything. Almost, but trust me, it's real. Thigpen, he almost came on my show, man. 3 times I talked to him. So he's treating that as evidence to basically say, yes, Bob, I back you. We don't have him, but I'm a witness because I spoke to him. So why would he speak to you 3 times and give you the ability to reveal that? Because he still exists in the world. If he's alive, like he said, and his name, the last name too, you just revealed on Joe Rogan to 35 million people. Why would this guy talk to you 3 times, completely relinquish his identity, which could get him in trouble, like he said, but then not come forward and just let Jeremy run wild with this story? Does that seem on the level to you guys? Anybody? Does that seem like a bullshit? Or does that seem like that's true? You know, you decide, you know, I think you guys know how I feel. But beyond that, you know, when I was younger, my dad used to tell me, and he used to joke kind of all the time, but it was a very serious kind of piece of advice he said to me. He said, all language does is confuse the world. You know, and I know what he meant by that is, you know, actions are everything. Right? You don't got to hear, you know, how someone feels about something to determine how they really feel. And just watch their actions. That'll tell you what the truth is, right? And what I mean by that is, and you'll see this is another common thing with Corbell and the people that he brings forward. Nobody wants to come out ever, right? That's all we heard. This drives me fucking nuts, man. Because it's absolute trash. It's pure BS. Bob says over and over again on Rogan, right away, he's like, oh, I got the headache. I have a terrible headache. I'm so stressed out. I have such a headache. And he goes on to say, I want privacy. I want to be left alone. You know, he's like old man Scrooge that's just so bothered by the fact that somebody would be interested in him. And he's like, no one cares. Just leave me alone. I don't like this. I just want to be left alone to do my science and all this stuff. And I don't want the fame. You know, no one's paid me money and all this shit. And it's like, okay, listen. You can't say that all you want is privacy. Then, you know, do a documentary that you know is being released by The Orchard, which is, it's like the same distro deal I have. It's going to be everywhere. And he knows that. And then you say, I just want to be left alone. So you go into Rogan, where 30 million people are going to listen to it. And beyond that, with time. So you want to be hidden and left alone. So you make a movie that has you know, worldwide distribution, and you go on Rogan. Sounds good. I don't understand that. You want to be left alone? It's real simple. Jeremy, go away. No, I'm not talking to anybody. That's it. Done. Having said that, let's get into the stuff that he released, right? Because after, you know, Lazar came out, the big thing obviously was the New York footage. The footage, the 3 clips that came out in the New York story. Now, if you guys remember, when these clips came out, there was a bit of a battle of shit-talking going on between who was claiming it. Because the earliest I heard about it, it was Tom DeLonge and his crew. It was Tom DeLonge basically on his Twitter way early telling everybody, hey, man, real footage is coming out. It's, you know, my people did it. Turns out that Lou actually is the one that cleared the footage up. But they claimed it. Then the New York Times, because they broke the story, kind of by, you know, grandfathering or adoption, they said basically they broke it, but it clearly wasn't their footage. But again, they were basically posturing as like, this is New York Times footage. And I can see how they would view it that way, because they're like, we brought the story to the public. So we basically presented the footage to the public. But again, To the Stars is going, no, we did that. Well, here on the left is, you know, Corbell just losing his shit. Just like every time he talks to somebody, no, I broke that footage. We did it. We put it out. So it was very obvious very early on that he wanted to posture as, I'm the leaker. I'm the guy who leaks the footage. If there's any footage that's real and worth a shit, it comes from me, and everything else is trash. And we'll get to that later, because he does treat everything else like it's trash. Now, this bothered him. It bothered him so much that if you remember, if you look at all the early footage that came out, the early footage used to have these, on the front and back, they'd have these bumpers that would say, To the Stars Academy, and then this footage would play. And then all of a sudden, it didn't. When Tom stepped away and kind of got his, you know, role taken from him, because if you remember, when they did the To the Stars Academy press conference, Tom DeLonge led it all. He was the guy who was at the mic. He was front and center. He was the guy. He introduced all those dudes. Now, eventually, you know, once the government was done with him, they were like, thanks, Lou, you're going to go ahead and steal that TV show. You're now the star of it. Tom DeLonge, go play music. And they kind of shoved him in the back. And now Lou is the guy. Lou is the dude. He was the guy. And then at some point, the government probably started realizing, man, this guy's a bad actor and people really don't like him. And then finally, it was like Lou's baton was passed over to Corbell. And you knew this happened because suddenly the To the Stars bumpers on that footage was dropped. And now there was just a smattering of Corbell's Instagram, which is hilarious to me. This footage that's been, you know, brought out of the Department of Defense, supposedly, and is played, you know, all over the world, has Jeremy Corbell's Instagram handle just smothered all over it. It's like a watermark. He watermarked it. You can't get this shit off there. You know, so if you want to use it in your video, well, you're going to be, you know, putting his damn Instagram watermark all over everything. But that was important to him. He wanted that. He wanted that huge audience, which, hey, I'm never, ever, ever going to bitch about a guy for wanting, you know, fame or a way to make money. Good for you. Make your money. That's America. That doesn't bother me that much. It just bothers me that there was clearly a shifting and shuffling of who's going to be the point man and try to sell America on this. And it was obvious. And they're not talking about it. It was Tom DeLonge. Then it was Lou. Then the country didn't like Lou. Then it was Corbell. And Corbell was like, hey, I see what happened to the last two dudes. You know, they just got axed out of the blue. Fuck that. You put my Instagram on all that footage, you know. You made sure that his name would be lasting. It was just like my dad was saying. Those actions tell you what someone's real benefit and their real goal is. Right? Like the fact that he made sure you couldn't separate that footage from his name on Instagram. You know, that basically that's saying, I want to be as famous as this footage. It's just an action. It's just something you should make note of. You know what I'm saying? Now, having said that, let's talk about all three of the clips. The gimbal, the go fast, and the tic-tac. The gimbal is the flying saucer one that turns on its side. And this is where the guy says, there's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. Basically, Corbell says that in addition to the one UFO that's on the screen, there's like five or six of them that are splayed out, that are like turning with it. And once again, this footage doesn't exist. But it exists in story, right? In Corbell's story. And supposedly the story of whoever's there saying there's a whole fleet of them, look at it. Okay, so maybe there is. Maybe there's a whole fleet of these things. I don't understand why there's not footage of it. If you can show us this one, why can't you show us that? It just kind of falls in line with the normal process. Release one thing and state that there's a bigger, grander thing that exists on film, and maybe we'll see it soon type of thing. It just engages you, right? It just engages you. It's just the same stuff over and over again. But we'll come back to the gimbal in a second. Let's move on to the TikTok, because this is the one that things get really weird. The TikTok was like crown gem, right? Now, what's really weird is that this footage was filmed by Underwood, a pilot named Underwood. And he also filmed the gimbal as well. Okay, now that's important for a reason I'll get back to in a second. Because Corbell ushers out a gentleman first named David Fravor. Fravor, you know, his past checks out. He was a badass. He was a killer, you know, Top Gun pilot for us, right? And this guy right away, on script, you know, for Corbell's guys that he pushes out there for us, the first thing you hear is, he doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want the fame. He doesn't want the attention. He doesn't want any of it. And he told, there's a video out on the premiere of Bob Lazar. He brought, you know, Fravor out to one of his premiere screenings. And Fravor on stage is like, I said I'd do this one thing for you. One time I would come out. And once again, he doesn't want to be famous. He doesn't want to be known for this. He just wants to live his normal life. But he's on Rogan. You know, he's on Rogan. He's in every damn UFO special that has been made. If there is a UFO special being made, you can bet your ass two things are going to be true. You're going to see all three of those weak-ass pieces of footage, and David Fravor is going to be in it. And now, what did Fravor say? Fravor says he shows up, he saw something big making a whitewash just below the water. He saw this tic-tac, this 40-foot-long tic-tac object bouncing around just above the water. He started going down in a circular motion. This thing started coming up in a reverse pattern that matched him. And then, bang, it took off and it's gone. And he filmed none of it. All his story. Okay, well, all you need is another pilot to kind of match that story up, right? And if we're assuming they're being truthful. So Dietrich, out of the blue, comes up. Dietrich, a female pilot. She says, yes, you know, I had the same experience, but she messes up. She says, or she's being honest, depends on how you look at it. She says that the whole event took a little over 5 seconds. And David Fravor said the whole event took over 5 minutes. Even when asked to correct herself, you know, Dietrich, I think it was on Twitter, Dietrich, someone said, you mean 5 minutes, not 5 seconds. She's like, no, God, that would be an eternity. The whole thing only lasted a few seconds. Everybody was talking about this. So you would think that Corbell would step up and go, hey, guys, yeah, let's get the truth on this. Let me talk to David Fravor, my good friend, because he loves to tell people that Fravor has become one of his best friends. He's a great friend. He says it in almost every damn interview, how good of a friend Fravor is. So why not just say, hey, I'm going to go talk to Fravor and Dietrich and get everybody an answer on this. And he doesn't. And my guess is because there's no answer. It doesn't. Now, that does that mean, do I think that that David Fravor is lying? I don't. I don't think that Fravor is lying. I don't. I think that Corbell is lying. That's what I think. I think a lot of stuff Corbell knows doesn't add up, but he still runs with the narrative. Here's another one. Supposedly, what sent Fravor and Dietrich out, to intercept the Tic Tac, and Fravor loved, or Corbell loves to say that these things were being clocked from 80,000 feet, which is space, basically, instantaneously within a second to just above the water. Okay? Can we see footage on that? There's no footage, but it was captured and reported on radar. Okay, that's an incredible story. Can we see the radar data? Nope. Okay, so it's starting to add up the things that are incredible that no one can see. There's no footage of 115 creating gravity and bending light, but it exists, but there's no footage of it. Somewhere in George Knapp's closet or some shit. Okay, that doesn't exist. Now, there's a whole fleet of UFOs, just off screen on the gimbal footage. Can we see the footage? Nope, doesn't exist. So that doesn't exist either. Oh, shit. Okay. Well, these Tic Tacs, they were flying from 80,000 feet to just above water, and they were recorded on, you know, radar. Okay, cool. Show us the radar data. It doesn't exist. God damn it. That doesn't exist either? You know? I mean, just, it's consistently the incredible thing. You know, it doesn't exist. But he knows about it. He knows about it. And Corbell tells these stories like there's an impossibility that maybe these things either didn't happen or they were made up, or, I mean, you have to consider those things, maybe, right? Because it does seem kind of weird that our military would be tracking objects they don't know about, consistently falling from the sky, you know, at speeds of 13,000 miles per hour. And this has been going on for weeks, they said, and no one did anything? That doesn't even make sense. But again, you know, there's no footage on everything that sounds incredible. They say these vehicles, they and Corbell says this all the time, they outpace, they outmaneuver, and they outperform anything that we have. Okay, well, why don't we see that in any of the footage? We don't. You know, Fravor says this thing took off and it was gone, like shot out of a bullet, and it was 60 miles away and 1 second back at our cap point. Okay, do we have footage of that? No. So no footage of that either. Okay, well, what do you have footage of, Fravor? Nothing. What? How about Dietrich? Surely she had nothing. Wait a minute. You guys, you went out and tracked and intercepted it. Why don't you have footage? Because Underwood shot the footage. So wait a minute. You didn't shoot any footage the whole time you were both out there. And you went back and told another guy, hey, this stuff's out there. Go film it. And he went and found it right away and filmed it. That don't even make sense. But you can't ask these guys any questions about it. Because, you know, Corbell's number one thing he says is we have to respect all these whistleblowers. We have to treat them all the best. I mean, these guys are professionals. They've been doing it forever. Don't question them. You know, they know what they're doing. It's like, I believe, yes, and I thank them for their service. My dad was an Air Force man. But if my dad told me these stories, I would have questions for him. You got to remember, the evidence, the UAPs, that's not that person. The experience is not a person. If I question what happened on David Fravor's flight, that's not questioning his character. I'm questioning the events. But Corbell doesn't let that happen. You know, he tells the same story, backs people up relentlessly, without even considering the possibility that somebody either doesn't remember, is wrong, is full of shit, or just, yeah, is part of something that's being made up. I mean, it's just so incredibly frustrating, you know? And the last one is the GoFast. That's where it just looks like a white dot that's just flying along the water. Not much was ever said about that footage beyond it is what it is. And, you know, it could be anything. I don't know. I see a dot flying across the screen. What I don't see in all three of these is what Corbell says. He's the one that says they outpace, they outmaneuver. You know, they break the laws of physics. He says all this stuff. Okay, can we see one piece of footage with one law of physics being broken? No, it doesn't exist. Or somebody else has it. They haven't released it yet. So damn. So as it stands right now, we don't really have any footage that is confirmed to be extraterrestrial, any footage in which the laws of physics are being broken. So what do we have? We have Corbell's stories. Okay, so moving on. The next piece of footage that he brought out was bad news. I've been over it extensively, so we're not going to do that right now. But the pyramid case above the USS, I think it's Roosevelt. Those are flying pyramids, he said. Obviously, I told you guys they're not. I was one of the first guys to come out and call it a bokeh. Right before I did, Corridor Crew, love those guys. They caught on to the fact there was a bokeh too right away. We've talked about this. Jeremy, the fact that he is a you know, very good cinematographer. There's not a chance on earth, in my opinion, there is no chance, 0%, in my opinion, that he didn't know what a bokeh is as a guy that works professionally with lenses. I don't, he's a filmmaker. He would have to know what it is. But, you know, he claims he didn't, you know, and again, you have to look at what is said. This is a classic example of the Korbel method. You see these, you know, 6 or 7, you know, seconds of grainy footage of these kind of like shaded triangles. Now, what he says is...
What people forget is that this was a 3-night event series with over 100 objects airborne at one time surrounding 10 Navy warships.
Okay, can we have footage of, I don't know, 30 of them? No. How about 20 of them? No. Two? Nope. You got the one with two ghosting effects. And that's all that is. It's one drone is what it is. And it's like, hold on, so 100, you know, drones, because that's what it is. You say flying pyramids, surrounded this boat. And all we had is, like, some iPhone footage. He said, well, no, it was all picked up on radar, which you saw the footage that was released from the inside. You mean the iPhone footage? Is that how that works when you're, like, the captain of a submarine or a massive battleship? But knowing we have enemies around the world, you can just whip out an iPhone and start filming stuff. I mean, it looks even corny. The digital display looks corny. It looks like some 1980s shit. Like, it looks ridiculous. Now, I can't say that's not real. I've not been on the inside of a boat. I would say it looks really weak. It doesn't make any sense to me. But still, same thing happens where the big part of the story that would be crazy, no one has footage of it. But it's out there, he says. Korbel says, there's more footage of it. But no one's seen it. No one's seen it. Well, little update here, guys. That's been completely debunked, just so you guys know. That entire case, 100%, has been completely debunked. It was on the Warzone Wire on thedrive.com. They broke every single thing down that there was to break down. And basically, these were drones that were launched, commercial drones. That had nothing to do with, you know, attacking anybody. It was for a totally separate project. They were launched off a boat called the Bass Strait. I mean, this thing is broken down in incredible detail. It's 100% confirmed that's what it was. There is no case to be had. But knowing this, Korbel again goes on Rogan. And what do you think he does?
There was a fake news story put up in the New York Post. They said case solved. It was some New York Post 2019 swarm says case solved. There was a Chinese cargo ship called the Bass Strait. So if you go to Wikipedia even, they say it was the Bass Strait was landing and launching drones, right? Well, hold on. The Bass Strait didn't have the deck capability to land or launch up to 100 plus of these 14-foot or larger objects. Additionally, the Bass Strait was in port in Long Beach while this activity was happening. And we know people that boarded the ship on behalf of our federal government to look to see if they were part of the fuckery, right? And then we got somebody that came to me that says, my one job that night was to make sure that nothing was landing or launching off the Bass Strait. And he goes, I wish I could say that we did catch the culprits, whoever launched all these. And he says, I can't report that to you. We didn't. I watched it the whole time.
But and again, like, yeah, someone came to me and told me about it. Like, where? Do you have a recording? It's like, no, just trust me, bro.
It was his same, like, pattern. You know, release one piece of footage that's small, claim a bigger story, and then when anybody attacks and punch holes, state that you've met people nobody else can that told you you were right. That is the Korbel method of deception, guys. That's what it is. Right after that, after being totally embarrassed, he releases the 29 Palms footage. This was the footage that looked like the Phoenix Lights over the military base in 29 Palms. completely debunked, guys. It is completely, 100% debunked. Just Google John Greenwald Jr. and 29 Palms. You know, Corbell again releases one picture and one piece of video. There's a massive amount of footage and photos on that case because there were countless Marines were there and they took photos of it the whole time and video of it the whole time. And John Greenwald Jr. Compiled all of that, those videos and photos. And it was completely obvious that this is actually one of those cases where it really was flares. You could see the smoke, you know, from the flare. Like, they fill the sky, the long trails of smoke. Once it's closer, you could see it. I mean, done. That footage is completely wrong. So far, we have three pieces of footage from the government that are still debatable as to what they are. Nothing proven at all. We have the Bob Lazar documentary, which, while entertaining, has some serious holes in it that we've discovered. We know for a fact the Flying Pyramids has been completely debunked. We know that the 29 Palms footage has been completely debunked. And, you know, which brought us to the Omaha footage. That was the one where you just see this flashing black circle and you hear a guy go, splash, mark, once this thing disappears. And that's it. And what we hear once again, oh, after it said splash, whatever this was, it was transmedium. It went under the water. And we know for a fact that the USS Omaha tracked it underwater. Okay, can we see that footage? Nope. The data? Nope. Okay, so again, what we're left with is a flashing black thing that could be something as simple as a fishing boat turned off its light. Nothing burger. I mean, there's nothing. They have no footage of anything under the water. No footage of anything flying out. No laws of physics are broken. You have a guy looking at a screen going, huh, are you tracking it? And it disappears and he goes, splash! The end. Nothing burger. And this, my friends, brings us to the jellyfish UFO footage, which I have never received a response like I did from you guys when this came out. You guys absolutely filled my email inbox saying, what in the hell is this thing? And I will admit, when I very first saw it, like the very first pass, I was like, what in the fuck is that? But I gotta be honest, guys, by about the fifth pass, I made a prediction. And Laura could tell you what that prediction was. I said, I think this is absolutely not anything military. I do not believe this is any kind of craft whatsoever. I told Laura, I said, I 100% think this is a Mylar balloon of some kind. And I didn't know at that time why it would be shaped that way, but all of the characteristics of it were completely consistent with it being a Mylar balloon. Starting with the fact that Corbell right away was selling the fact, he kept saying, it's changing colors. I could not believe he was in interviews allowing people to say this and propagating this himself. It is not changing colors. And it's okay, you're not stupid if you thought that it was, because when you look at it, it appears to be. I mean, on the screen, it's changing colors, but I mean, in real life, it's not changing colors. You're looking at a night vision picture. If you look at the land and everything surrounding, you know, the UAP, the jellyfish, every time you see that jellyfish, quote, change colors, if you look at the buildings, the window, the land, everything, the entire picture changes colors. So that basically means one of two things. That means that the lens from the aerostat, it's a big balloon aerostat that is basically just recording it. So it's a stationary balloon that's recording its movement. It is changing its focus, and that is basically it's refocusing on different things as it's flying along, because you can see it's not locked onto it. So it's either that which creates the different darkness, light, depending upon what it's focusing on, or it's simply lighting as it's going by, or it's moonlight that's coming through clouds. Basically, all that's happening is the entire area, the entire picture is getting lighter or darker. The entire picture is. So that UAP, it has reflective, whatever it is, it's reflective, which again, maybe think it's this is Mylar. But I am 100% certain it's not happening with the UAP itself. The jellyfish is not changing color. The entire picture is, which you can see. It's also not going against any kind of wind stream or anything like that. In fact, it's moving with the wind. It's steady moving with the breeze the whole time. And that's exactly what you're seeing. You're not seeing it make any hard right turns. It's not jumping up and down at all. It's not like going really, really slow, then really, really fast. It's not making any kind of arc. From the beginning of the footage till the end, you see it kind of twist a little bit. That's about it. And again, that's because it's flying with that, I guess you can call it a miniature Gulf Stream or the breeze, right? It's just cruising with that breeze right past there. So I'm looking at that going, well, reflective surface, something that does not seem to be under control of anybody because it's not moving anyway. It's just literally going perfectly with the breeze. And what we also know is that clearly nobody sees this as a threat on the base at all. Let me tell you what happens when, you know, real UAPs show up. Things that people know for sure are something that shouldn't be there. That happened here right outside my front door. It was called the Battle of Los Angeles. You want to know what LA did when something showed up in the skies that shouldn't be there? They blacked out the city. They hit this thing with 5 spotlights. And they launched 1,800 anti-aircraft mortar rounds at that fucking thing. So if this at all, made even one person nervous that they were going to be attacked, I would have to believe that, you know, every gun in that entire camp would be trained on this thing. But I think they knew, again, there were no weapons that were visible. It didn't have its own control. It was cruising along with the breeze. I think they knew it wasn't anything that was under the control of anybody. And I think they saw what I see when I watch it and what I instantly in my gut felt that it was when I watched it. And I saw a balloon or a collection of balloons. So when I sat down tonight to record this, I literally just went to YouTube and I was going to look up Islamic balloons and just see like what popped up. So I was searching around, and as I was searching Islamic balloons, a video comes up that basically says jellyfish UAP debunked. And I want to give this gentleman credit because he beat me to it, and he's absolutely right. And this is what I saw. Check this out.
Now this is a celebrative balloon for the Islamic holiday of EID. And when I looked at the footage for the first time, I mean, you saw my reaction in it when I looked at it in my Jeremy Corbell video. It's like, basically, it really looked like a bunch of balloons drifting through the sky. But I didn't have any evidence of it at the time. But now we have this. Okay. And to be honest, it looks pretty much identical. Okay. So you have like the kind of moon-shaped balloons that sit up here that protrude from the top. You have the letters dangling from the bottom, so all that lines up perfectly. And keep in mind, it was shot in Iraq, which is obviously a predominantly Islamic country. Also in the video, you saw that it moves at a constant speed. It's not like zigzagging around or something, which also really made it look like it's being carried by the wind.
This is exactly what I was thinking as well. It has to be some kind of a balloon. As you can see, it's a Islamic holiday, Mubarak. I'm gonna ruin the name of it, so I'm not even gonna try. But yeah, it's a balloon for a holiday celebration, an Islamic holiday. And it went floating, you know, right on by. And that's why nobody freaked out, because it was a balloon. Now, this other balloon that Corbell shows, like in the middle of this footage, that's clearly a second balloon, which makes total sense to me that there's more than one balloon floating around. It's a holiday. It's a holiday. But wait a minute. You cannot have a Corbell piece of footage released without the Corbell method of deception, which is to show a little and claim a lot. And that's exactly what happened here. He claimed that the jellyfish here went out over the water, okay, went out over the water, and then did a controlled descent into the water, stayed underwater for 17 minutes, came up, and rifled away at a 45-degree angle, just rocket sauce out of there. Which, of course, begs the question, awesome, can we see that footage? And you know the answer. Of course not. But Corbell's seen it, and he knows where it is. And he's told the inspectors general where he can go find it. But to be honest, guys, I think I know the reason that Jeremy doesn't have this footage. In fact, with a little bit of research, I found out that News Nation spoke to a Marine named Michael Sinkoski. Sinkoski was an intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, tactical controller at the base in Iraq in 2018. Well, in regard to Corbell's claims, Sinkoski said the following. Toward the end, it seemingly continued off into the distance. It got smaller and smaller. It got seemingly far enough away where they could not see it anymore, whether it dropped into the water or just continued over the lake, because there is a lake next to the base that we were at. At no point in the video can you see it drop into the lake or shoot into the sky like there have been some claims. That never happened, Sinkoski said. Let me say that again, guys. That never happened, Sinkoski said. So Corbell is saying there's footage of the jellyfish having a controlled descent into the water for 17 minutes, re-emerging, and then firing off into the sky at a 45-degree angle. Sinkoski, the Marine who was there, who has seen every second of footage associated with the jellyfish UAP, says, that never happened. Never came out of the water. Never flew into the sky. I've had it with Corbell, man. The dude is just being debunked like crazy, and they're proving his lies over and over and over again. And at some point, it's just like, man, you're part of the fucking problem, dude. To me, he clearly reeks of a disinformation agent. That's what he looks like to me. That's my opinion. The last thing he's done that really has eked me like since the beginning is right away, once David Grush came out, he is just, you know, pounding America with, you gotta be good to Grush. You gotta teach, you know, treat him so good. And then when Grush's medical records came out, the fact that he had PTSD, they all like immediately said, that's a hit piece. And right away I was like, man, that's shitty if there's a story that was released basically saying you can't trust them anymore, you can't believe his words because he had PTSD. And I'm like, that's horrible. And then I went and read the piece. And it's not a hit piece at all. The only one stating that it's a hit piece is like Corbell and Grush. All it does is just talk about his history with his wife and how there was a time period where it got bad for him after the war, which anybody would understand. To me, if anything, it only added credibility to him because it showed that after this event, after he dealt with PTSD, after he went through his bout with suicidal thoughts, post, like, you know, hard combat, it showed that he was still gainfully employed by the government. He was still working, you know, with top secret materials. They deemed this guy, you know, to be trustworthy, to be credible, to be good at his job. You know, basically, the journalist who wrote that story said, this wasn't like a hit piece. He was like, anytime somebody comes out and either makes promises to the public or they go talk to Congress and they, you know, make some kind of, you know, fantastic statement, And anytime that happens, there's going to be an interest, you know, in this person's, you know, well-being. Don't you guys, when you, everybody listening to this podcast, don't you think it's important to know if the people telling us stuff like David Grush that could alter policy, like global policy in our everyday lives and in the lives of people around the world, that this is that powerful of a statement? Wouldn't you want to know if this person is mentally stable? Wouldn't you want to know if he's fit to be making such statements? I would, you know, and after reading the story, I didn't walk away with less confidence in Grush. I walked away going, look, he's a real dude. He fought for our country. That's awesome. You know, we owe him a service of gratitude. You know, he went through some tough times, but he found his way through it. And he remained employed by our government. Great. He's a tough dude, man. That's what I get out of the hit piece. And nowhere in that hit piece does it say, this guy can't be trusted. He's a wild man. He's fucking sick. And it didn't say that, guys. It didn't. Go read it. And the reason this bothers me, that Corbell is pushing so hard about, we got to protect him and take care of him, I still can't figure out why they are calling Grush a whistleblower. Grush, by his own admittance, went to the government and got approval for everything that he was going to say and was told by the government what he could not say, which he demonstrated this in Congress over and over again. He kept saying, I can't talk about this here. I'd have to be in a skiff. Okay, so where is the whistleblowing? Because the whistleblowing is when your boss or the people that are above you are doing some illegal shit and you don't check in with them to see if it's okay to expose them. So I don't understand where the whistleblowing is, because he keeps saying, you know, I've been, you know, greenlit to talk about this, talk about this, talk about this. I mean, look, if the government said it's okay for you to go out and make statements stating that there's an illegal, clandestine operation that's funded to the tune of trillions of dollars to do UFO research, if the government allowed you to say that, that doesn't mean you're a whistleblower. That means you're a messenger, man. That means they want you to deliver a message. And that's what I think all of these guys are. They're messengers. They're messengers. And there is some weak shit going on right now, man. Some really disturbing stuff. And I don't trust Corbell. I just don't at all. And you look at the Corbell method of deception, it's the same thing every time. Release a little, tell a big story about a lot. Never deliver any of that. I mean, guys, if we stop and we look now and we say, what do we have now that we didn't have 3 years ago? Nothing burger, guys. Nothing burger. And those three clips that were released by the New York Times, there is nothing in that footage that is out of this world. 29 Palms, completely debunked. The Pyramid, completely debunked. USS Omaha, okay, there's a black dot. And a guy saying splash. It wasn't debunked because there was nothing to debunk. It was that big of a nothing burger. Jellyfish footage, completely debunked. David Grush, not a whistleblower. Everything he said was approved by the government to say. So I'm honestly asking you guys, where are we at now? What do we have new that pushes the dial? We don't have anything new. It's just a bunch of decorated ass nothing burger. And what's crazy is I think this is very real, though. Because the Aquadilla footage is insane. That's real. That Aguadilla footage. And you want to know why it's real? None of them talk about it. Corbell, all those guys, none of them talk about the best footage that's out there, which is the Aguadilla footage. And you know what I think is equally the best footage that's out there? Sir No Face. Because that shit hasn't been debunked, and it won't be. I gave 2 years of my life to that. And I can tell you that whatever No Face is, it is truly alien to the human species. I don't know if it's extraterrestrial. I don't know if it's, like Greer was saying, if that was something that was created there in Australia. Or I don't know if it was something that's been here all along living under the water. And that's how it wound up on an island. I have no idea when it comes to that.
but I know it's real. I know the Aguadilla footage is real. I know there's other footage out there that's real. And I know there's a lot of weird shit happening in our skies. But this group of dudes, with Corbell leading the way, not a good batting average. Not a good batting average at all. I think it's time people start speaking up to Corbell and start telling him, hey, dude, we get it. We see what you're doing. We see what you're doing. And you know what? I think Tim Burchett sees what Corbell is doing too. And I will talk about that in the next episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the In a Crowded Room podcast. Please, guys, subscribe if you haven't. Click the notifications bell. Give me a thumbs up. Leave me a comment. Let me know your thoughts. You know I want to read them. Much love, everybody. And I will be back tomorrow with more. All the best.